Hi, this is Alan Carrington. At the moment, I'm in Singapore at Nanyang Technological University. I've had a fantastic couple of days here. I'm at the Lee Kong Chian School of Medicine, and Paul Gagnon, I think I said it right, Paul, is with me here. He's the director of e-learning. I met Paul about a year ago at the LAMS conference in Sydney, and I was passing through Singapore. Paul asked me to come and we'll talk about iPads. But you said some things here, Paul, and I'll give you the mic in a second, that talking about team-based learning in particular, can you talk to me about, your pedagogical philosophy of what you're doing here in the school?
Okay, the pedagogical philosophy is quite simple. Team-based learning is an extension of the collaborative and cooperative learning movement that began in the 80s with Johnson & Johnson and was refined by a man named Michelson. I first experienced it when I was at Duke NUS Graduate Medical School.
U.S., meaning Duke United States?
NUS Graduate Medical School, which is a jointly sponsored school here in Singapore with Duke University and National University of Singapore. And they came and they were looking at innovating around their curriculum, and they started with something called team-based learning with Michelson. Team-based learning, I think, is one of the most exciting pedagogies for creating and sustaining student engagement that I've come across in my 35 years in the educational business.
Now, I've seen nothing but excitement here as far as the setting up of the whole School of Medicine, and as a joint project, I guess is the right word, between Imperial College London and Nanyang, and you're in the early stages of this. How do you see its impact on medical education? It seems like it's has quite an impact.
Yeah, it's having quite an impact because one of the things that this team-based learning does is it mitigates that tension that happens when students go into lecture halls and fall asleep because they're just being talked to. And as if you were to talk to many medical students, they would tell you, hey, you know, most times I can read what they're presenting here. So what we've done is we've eliminated lectures in the sense that the students will not go to a formal lecture. They will be given materials prior to coming to class, and that's where a tool like LAMS comes into play so that they can create a quick elevator speech around, okay, students, here's what you're going to be doing. You know, you're going to be exploring the following content on breathlessness. I want you to pay attention to A, B, and C. D, E, and F, you might want to give a miss.
Right.
Okay? Now, they review those resources, and then they come to a gate. Subsequent to that, they come to the classroom. When they come in the classroom, they go through what we call an individual readiness assessment. What this does is it tests their foundational knowledge on the content that you gave them prior to coming to class. So think about it like when we went to school and had to read a chapter or two in a textbook, and we were supposed to come to class prepared. However, how many of you or us did come prepared? Diligent people like you and I probably did, right?
Yeah, right.
But if you weren't prepared, you could probably get away with it. Not likely in a class that everybody's going to be asked a question and provide the answer. With team-based learning and this individual readiness assessment, you and I and everyone in the class comes in and we are given our questions and we answer them individually. We don't know the answers. We submit them online. We don't know what our answers are, whether they're correct or not. At that point, we go into what is called the group readiness exercise. Okay? We get the exact same set of questions, but now we come together as a team, and there might be 8-10 teams in the class. And as a team, we have to come up with our single best answer on the questions we've already been assigned. Now, you and I might have answered question one differently. You may have said it was A, I said it was C. Now, what happens is that we students begin to teach each other or explain to each other in the team, and other students are listening. And so what is happening is that excitatory potential, you know, that process that where the neurons start to fire and the neural networks get created, that begins to push this information into their long-term memory because they're now referencing information that they may have had. They're listening to information that's being presented. They're distilling, combining, and forming their own kind of understanding of the content. When this finishes, I might say as the team leader, okay, we got to make a decision. So what is it, Alan? Is it A or B or C? And we always go with Alan because Alan's already correct. So we scratch it off, and we see that A is incorrect. Now we have to go and find out, maybe from somebody else in the team who held that C was correct. Right. But they weren't always the brightest student, and so we didn't really value their opinion. But they made a compelling case, but we still felt that Alan was right because Alan was the brightest one, came in with the highest GPA, et cetera. So now we scratch C. Lo and behold, the student that we thought didn't know anything is in fact correct. So what happens is that whole dynamic of related to the brightest student dominating the discussion because everybody naturally assumes that they're right comes into question, and the students begin to appreciate that, hey, each of us has a contribution to make, and together we will come up with a solution.
Now, is this at undergraduate level or master's level or both or what?
It holds at both the undergraduate and graduate level. So there's a team-based learning consortium that Michelson and cohort have developed, and it's available in the States, and it's online. There's a listserv run out of the University of British Columbia that is available and online. I think you could look it up and make it available.
Who else in medical education that you know in the world is using this sort of approach?
Duke NUS is using this approach. We're using it here at Lee Kong Chien, but we're adapting it. We're calling it collaborative learning because we're completely moving from the paper-based process, which many are doing, to an online process using the iPads. And
so every student will have an iPad?
Every student will have an iPad to support fully mobile learning anywhere, anytime.
Yep.
And remember that these students will be on two campuses, here at NTU, and at Tan Tock Seng Hospital.
Which is how far away?
Which is about 35 minutes away.
Yep.
By freeway. They will also, and this is part of the trigger process, they will also be spending time at polyclinics where the majority of medicine is really done. So rather than talking to patients laying flat on their backs all the time, they're going to be in polyclinics like a general practice where patients come in and say, well, you know, I've got this skin rash and it won't go away, or I'm having chest pains. So the students will be using these activities as triggers. So, you know, in something like problem-based learning, triggers are an important part of the learning process. Now we're having them at the polyclinics, and these interactions with patients with real problems.
You called it problem-based learning.
But no, we're calling it team-based learning.
You just said problem-based. Is that different? Or?
Yeah, problem-based has been in existence in a very, very long time in medical education. And the reason that team-based learning is gaining more currency than problem-based learning is that it is a balance between it works on the assumption that, hey, there is some fundamental foundational knowledge that students have to learn. Yep. And we're not always convinced that in a PBL environment they get that. Yep. Whereas now we are assured of that because we're testing them on the things that we think are very important. So we know they know that.
Yep.
So from the individual readiness and the group readiness assessment, they move on to what is called a group application exercise. Group application exercise is a case-based situation or problem that the students get that derives from the content that they've covered in the IRA, JIRA, and the pre-reading exercises. So they do the reading around breathlessness.
Yep.
They get questioned on their understanding of key components of the anatomy and the interactions related to breathlessness and chest pain, etc. And then they're given a case in which they have to go out and find information to answer a series of questions again. And these are not Googleable, to use that word.
Tell me, how many students is the center parent going to start with, so to speak?
Our steady state will be around 150 students, but our first intake of students will be 52.
Right.
And then we will escalate from 52 to 62 in 2014, then 70 some odd in 2015, on a gradual incremental basis for 5 years, hopefully achieving steady state by 2018, which would represent the first graduating cohort.
And what sort of response, I'll wrap it up in a second, but what sort of response are you getting from other medical educational people about your approach?
There's a great deal of excitement about the innovations that Lee Kong-chen is bringing to the educational marketplace with respect to technology-enhanced learning.
Yes.
So the whole iPad apps, mobile access anywhere, anytime, iLectures, a derivative of the iBook apps that you see on the iPad. All of these are part of our process of bringing technology and immersing it within the curriculum delivery.
Yeah, I've been talking to Paul Gagnon. How do I say it?
Gagnon.
I'm going to get it right eventually. Sorry about that, Paul. From Lee Kong-chen School of Medicine here in Nanyang Technological University. Very exciting stuff, Paul. Thank you for your time. And hopefully we're going to continue collaboration on all this. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Alan.